According to government statistics, up to 78 people a day are now dying from opioid-related overdoses, and cities are trying to find a way to stem that awful truth. Here in Boston recently, GE joined the Consortium for Affordable Medical Technologies, or CAMTech, and Mass General Hospital to hold a hackathon. They invited doctors, activists, police officers, former addicts, to team up over 24 hours and come up with ideas they'd then pitch to a panel of judges. Well, the winning teams took home $1,000 each to start turning those ideas into reality. Ideas like a Fitbit-like device that would detect when an addict was overdosing and inject life-saving medication like naloxone, which can reverse an overdose, or boxes placed around a city, which would open after a call to 911, inside more naloxone. Well, two of the winners of the hackathon are here with us. Scott Strode, who proposed a sort of community center, as we'll hear. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
And Aubrey Esters came up with sort of a mobile van. We'll hear more about that as well. Hi, Aubrey.
Hi there.
And let's start with sort of a bottom line here. You both are very public about the fact that you both have or are recovering from different addictions. Have I got that right, Aubrey?
Yes.
And what was yours?
I was an active drug user for about 7 years. I was injecting heroin daily multiple times, and I was homeless. My life was absolute chaos at the time.
That's unbelievable looking at you now. It's just, you know, the reminder that it can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Scott, yours?
I got sober here in Boston a little over 19 years ago. Yeah. And for me, it was cocaine and alcohol, but it was the early days of the opioid epidemic starting to surface. And actually, once I got sober, I worked as an EMT and I got to see the other side of it. And I saw OxyContin and these other drugs starting to emerge as opioid addiction grew.
In the patients on your gurneys, you know, in your truck. So you start with the premise that this is something that should be part of a public hackathon. This is not something that should be a secret. Scott, you told me you even have a T-shirt that says sober.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's beautiful that GE took this opportunity to pull together the hackathon to get a diverse group of minds together and go at this issue again, because the current approach we're taking isn't working.
Yeah.
And the issue only seems to be growing. So I think we need to look at it differently.
Albert, you say the same thing, right? Get it out from behind the dumpsters where people are dying.
Literally. I mean, people are literally dying in locked bathrooms, behind dumpsters, between cars. And it's, you know, the numbers are right now in Massachusetts between 4.5 to 6 people a day die from accidental overdose. And that's pretty bad.
As we said, almost 100 across the country. It's funny you mentioned locked bathrooms, because I understand one of the ideas was a detection device in locked public bathrooms that would detect when someone hits the floor, because it happens so often. Okay, well, let's start with your ideas, your winning ideas. Aubrey, what did you want to accomplish? And then we'll hear about your idea.
So originally, a group of us formed to work on harm reduction and in the greater sense, trying to help the most people in the highest drug use neighborhoods. And we were looking into supervised consumption sites or supervised injection facilities.
And some cities are doing that, you know, supervising where people need their injections so that at least they have clean needles, or if they overdose, there's someone there.
98 facilities around the world. 2 are currently in North America. Two are cited to be in Washington State, and it's something that's been happening since 1988, and it's time the U.S. got on board.
So you were initially looking at this, at least let's reduce the harm when someone is an addict, and then what did you come up with?
So we came up with a group that wanted to work at both harm reduction by educating people about safer use and also providing treatment on demand to meet people physically where they are and where they are in the process of recovery.
Talk about that, because people listening to you might be saying, and again, you did come up with a sort of van. We gave it away, a sort of a mobile van. But people might be saying, well, there are recovery centers. So what are you talking about that's not a recovery center?
So from my experience as a homeless person who was a drug user, I know that some people won't go to recovery centers because of the shaming and the stigma that's involved, a lot of times unintentionally from the providers there. And along with the fact that if they're not being reached out to by someone they trust, they may not want to look into the services they offer. So our idea is to have a van that goes around multiple sites around the city that have very high drug use and reach people on the street who are homeless and using.
So what would be in that van? We've talked separately about the fact that there are some injection sites. This wouldn't be offering injections.
No. So this, we'd be doing basically the same things that a syringe exchange does, like a needle exchange, offering safer use supplies and education, along with treatment on demand, suboxone induction.
Talk about that. This is MAT.
Medically assisted treatment.
Suboxone is one of the drugs that can what?
Suboxone and methadone both have been proven to decrease a person's chance of dying from overdose in their lifetime by 50%. and it saved my life personally.
It allowed you to have something in your system that kept you away from the heroin while you tried to stay off heroin.
While I stabilized my life. Yeah, it keeps you away from more risky behaviors and active use. Enables you to not be sick, keeps your brain working the way it does after drug use for a long time.
So a couple questions about these vans that go around. And now you and Scott and everyone who won are taking these ideas out and fundraising for them to make it a reality. But what about a question like licensing? I mean, how do you have people go around and give out Suboxone in a van?
So licensing on a street level is something we're looking into. There are doctors already many doctors across Massachusetts that are able to and licensed to prescribe Suboxone or other buprenorphine. So we have several doctors on board already that are willing and able to do this. We're looking for other treatment centers and hospitals and health networks to join in. I've been contacted by places that have vans and have resources and are already doing medical work on the street that we want to include treatment on demand into their program.
Well, I want to turn to Scott Strode, who also won the hackathon here in Boston in the community building category. Now, in the past, you have been behind a push for community centers for addicts where they can go and box and do things like that and have a place. What's different about your winning project? It is also a community center.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. But I sort of took the concept of the third place, which is sort of a community building concept of it used to be barbershops and churches and barbecues at family events where people came together and supported each other as communities. But the recovery community doesn't really have that. We have recovery centers, but they're very similar sort of in that treatment side, the institutional side of getting clean and sober. But then you're in recovery and there's this huge desert, there's a void. So we wanted to create a space that brought people together both early in recovery, loved ones, or even first responders who needed to learn more about resources. They could come in and talk to recovery coaches that would be greeters at the front door. And if you're struggling and you want to get clean and sober, you can come in and find access there as well. But it would also draw people that are in long-term recovery already.
Well, Scott, you make a point because we have the treatment centers for people who've decided they've had enough. We have naloxone for the police and family who are going to reverse overdoses. But for someone who's in recovery and needs to now live with that, Aubrey, you tell a story of how you were in recovery for, what, 7 years?
Yeah, 7 years. And all it took was smelling someone cooking dope. And I was off and running. And I hadn't had thoughts of using for a long, long time.
You could have died that night.
I could have.
Yeah. After 7 years. So this is what you're talking about, Scott.
Yeah, I think that bringing people together who have some recovery time to be a support network for people that are new to the recovery journey is powerful because this enhanced bridging happens. People start to find a 12-step community. They start to find a good therapist. They hear somebody who's in long-term recovery talk about what it's like to do their trauma work, which was the root cause of my addiction originally. Mm-hmm. And if you had a space where people came together, they could get healthy through yoga and fitness. They could get a job as a personal trainer or mentored as a coach. They could work in the cafe, maybe their first job in recovery. And they could also be a recovery coach greeting people at the door. And we put it in the heart of the city as a flagship that says, this is a place of hope. We're investing in this. We believe in recovery. And I think we can change that message and make Massachusetts the best place in the U.S. to be in recovery.
Well, you know, I'm looking at you and you are just a picture of health. You radiate optimism. But I'm betting there are listeners who say, oh, I know about those places. There's always, how to say it, a lot of men standing outside smoking. And then there's the stigma. I mean, I think a misperception about what it could be. But then there's also maybe a stigma on the part of an addict who might be $200,000 a year executive and doesn't want to walk in a place like that.
And that's why this place would be different. It would be a vibrant place that is about health and wellness. Already, the nonprofit I work for, Phoenix Multisport, we're in 5 cities and 3 states already.
And these are with the units that you've set up for addicts.
Yeah, and we do CrossFit, boxing, yoga, strength training. It's all free to anyone who's 48 hours clean and sober. And this would be a little different. Even if someone's active in use, they could come to the third place and get some support.
Do you worry about that? Aubrey, your thoughts on Scott's idea. I'll ask you. Do you worry that an active addict going into a place like this might take down someone else?
So I'm not sure. I think it depends. I think having the 48-hour is an interesting idea. And I think we need to have as many options available as possible.
And Scott, your thoughts on Aubrey's idea of vans that would go around and if she can get the licensing, even give out Suboxone, which is the medication that can help somebody wean off opioids.
I think it's a wonderful idea, and that's why I love that she was on the show as well, because a lot of people at the hackathon, the concept was around just keeping people from dying, and we absolutely have to do that. But her van also gives the opportunity as a gateway into recovery and some options for people to find out what resources they could access. So I think it's important to stop the fatalities right now, but we also have to find a path to recovery because that breaks the cycle of addiction.
We're going to link people to more about these and other ideas that came up at the hackathon. And by the way, listeners, we want to hear the innovative ideas that your cities are coming up with. But meantime, Scott Strode, Aubrey Esters, members of two of the five teams that won this year's first opioid hackathon. It was put together by GE, Mass General Hospital, and Camtech. That's the Consortium for Affordable Medical Technologies. Scott, Aubrey, off to fundraising. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, they're both talking to the movers and shakers they met at the hackathon for fundraising, but they both also have crowdsourcing fundraising sites. We'll link you up at hereandnow.org.